This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So I asked Reb Lazer when I saw the brochure about the Hachnasa Sefer Torah, who are these two people in whose memory and honor the new Sefer Torah completed today was dedicated? I assumed naturally they must have been grandparents, uncles, relatives, maybe teachers. I was quite shocked and moved by his response. The Blazer told me that 15 years ago, when he decided to go into the world of business, a man living in Chicago by the name of Rabbi Jack Schnell, Rabbi Yaakov Schnell, introduced him to another wealthy Jew in Chicago by the name of Rabbi Herschel Herendorf. And because these were his two original partners, Rabbi Yaakov introduced him to Mr. Herendorf. So as a sign of gratitude to these two people who ushered him in to the world of business, he decided to write a Sefer Torah le'ilu nishmasam. And when I heard this, I thought to myself, you know, I have had many a partner in business visit me, and I always understood immediately the depth of the words of the Chazal when they wanted to describe shutfim. The opening message about all partners is, if you have shutfim, realize that ratzu lasus mechitza. All they want is to build a mechitza, to build a wall and say, Baruch Shepatrani, you stay on your side and I stay on my side. This was novel. And then I remember that, you know, there are two types of people who get favors from the same source, but their response is diametrically opposed. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Nile River, which will probably be the next trip, no? After Morocco, I'm sure the next trip will be the Nile. Somebody came to me before Pesach and asked me if I could do a Pesach program in a boat on the Yam Suf. They said, imagine you'll be Shvi Shal Pesach on the Yam Suf. At the head, I said, fine, with one condition. If you can guarantee that it's going to split on Shvi Shal Pesach in the morning, I'll go on the cruise. He says, that's life. He said, I'll stay by my Pesach program and do my own Kriyas Yam Suf. The Nile River, the Nilus, did two favors to two people. One favor it did to Moshe Rabbeinu. It protected him as a little infant as his basket floated on the Nile. But the Nilus did a favor to one more person. Paroi, every time he came to the Nilus rose as a sign of respect and dignity to the king of Egypt. So two people owed a favor to the Nilus, Moshe and Paroi. And yet, how did they both treat the Nilus? When Hashem tells Moshe, go strike the river, turn it into blood, Moshe says, not me. Aaron will strike the river. Why? It protected me. That's how Moshe dealt with the river. How did Paroi deal with the river? When Paroi had to go out in the morning to take care of his needs, where did he go to do it? He went to the Nilus. Because two people can get a favor from the same source. One person says, you did me a favor, I will forever remember that and be grateful. Paroi says, you did me a favor, you're vulnerable, it's gay, on whatever. I will do whatever I have to do on you. I will use you, I will abuse you, I will manipulate you. You did me one favor, I see you're a softy, you're a mushy river, I will abuse you. Tonight is a celebration, a man who received a favor from two shutfim, both on the Olam HaEmes, and decided to remember that and to dedicate a Sefer Torah for the Herschel Zichrono Livracha, for Rabbi Yaakov Zecherno Levracha, Le'elu Nishmasam. That in itself is moving. But there is something else. I don't know if you noticed the passion, the alacrity, the force with which people were dancing during the Siyum and the Aknasa Sefer Torah. You could see on everybody's faces the level of exhaustion. Rabbi Lazer told me before, my drush usually doesn't mix in. But tonight he told me, mostly stories and a little Torah. The Olam is exhausted. However, the Gemara says in Pesachim, Kol Masha Balabayis Haimu Lecha Asei, Chutz Mitzei. Whatever the Balabayis tells you, you do. Besides that he tells you to say, he tells you to leave, or he tells you what not to say, then you don't have to listen to the Balabayis. You saw how people dance, people are exhausted. What is it about a Siyum Sefer Torah that brings out a Pesachimcha? Certainly Lag BaOmer contributed to it. Certainly the community contributed to it. Certainly the entire ambiance of that part of Forshe contributed to it, Vahamei Vinyavin. But there's something more in every Akhmasa Sefer Torah. I want to tell you a little story. Open your hearts, my dear friends. It's a very, very deep story. The story happened a number of years ago on Har Herzl in Yerushalayim. A word about Har Herzl. Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach, the Chassadik Levracha, was once visited by a Jew who came to America, from America, a tourist. And Jigan would say, a tourist, a tayar. He came for tiyu. He goes into Shlomo Zalman, and he tells Shlomo Zalman, I'm heading off today to the north, to the Galil. Shlomo Zalman says, why the north? He says, I want to go to Kibre Tzadikim. I want to go to the Kvarim of Tzadikim. So Mizalman Oyerbach says, it's a beautiful thing, but I just want to tell you, if you're looking for Kibre Tzadikim, you don't have to go up north. You can go up to Har Herzl, very close. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of young Tzadikim who sacrificed their lives, Al Kiddush Hashem, who died protecting their people, the Jewish people. You could go daven at each of their graves. There's a group, few schools in New York, what we would call modern Orthodox schools, that sends every year 50 teenagers to Israel, a program called Right on Israel. They basically want for 3 weeks they should learn about the country, so later as they go off to university they can become defenders of Israel in an environment that today is beyond hostile and anti-Semitic in most of the campuses of the universities across America. Many of us sitting here are immune to this, but this is one of the great lethal dangers of our times, especially how Jewish students are on defensive from their own brothers and sisters who almost de facto are anti-Israel in a venomous, venomous fashion. So these kids are trained. The year is 2011. They spent 3 weeks in Israel. That night they were flying back from Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv to JFK. It is midnight flight, 11 o'clock flight. And the last afternoon they went to Har Herzl to see the graves of the soldiers. 50 students from New York. One of the students was just walking around the graves. And he sees that one of the graves and one of the matzavas, parents, what looked like parents, a man and a woman standing at a tombstone and sobbing. This boy, a 16-year-old, decided to approach them. He went over to them, he introduced himself, and he said, what's going on? What happened? Why are you crying? The mother told him, look at the tombstone. This is my son, Erez Deri, Hashem Yinkum Damai. He went into Jenin. In 2006, you remember, at the Second Intifada, suicide bombers were dispatched almost every single day, maiming and murdering hundreds and thousands. Finally, after the suicide bomb in Netanya, during the Seder, which killed so many Jews, including Auschwitz survivors, imagine, at the Seder, Netanya Sharon, Ariel Sharon decided it's time to at least on some level say goodbye to the nightmare of Oslo. They went into Jenin. My son Erez, 20-year-old boy, was killed in Jenin. It destroyed our family. It devastated our family. Nothing was ever the same. We have a younger brother, can't get his life together. I can't get my life together. My husband can't get his life together. He was our joy. He was our future. He was our hope. And he was just taken away from us at the young age of 20. Last night, she tells this boy, I had a dream. My son Erez came to me in a dream. And he said, Ima, lama ata tzuva kol kach? Mother, why are you so depressed? And I said, Erez, my dream and your father's dream was always l'chnisotcha l'chupa, l'chod itach itcha l'chupa, to bring you under a chupa, to dance with you under the chupa. And that dream was taken from us forever. And Erez said, Ima, I understand, but I want to tell you something. By Jews, we take two things under the chuppah. There are two types of things that we dance with them under the chuppah. One, a chatan and a kala, a groom and a bride. But there's something else we take under a chuppah and we dance with it. And that's a sefer Torah when we complete it. Mother, why don't you write a sefer Torah for me? You and Abba will dance and take the sefer Torah. And they will dance with the Torah under the chuppah. And I'm telling you, it will be like taking me under the chuppah. The Sefer Torah will represent me. She said, I woke up from the dream. But we're a secular family. We don't know what a Sefer Torah is. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know who writes it, how you write it, how you finish, what chuppah. I don't know about this. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? So me and my husband came to his grave to pray for guidance. How are we supposed to implement what Erez told us in the dream? We are clueless and ignorant. The young student listens to the story. He goes back to the leader of the group, Rabbi Yutav Eliach, I think he's in the Five Towns. And he says, Rabbi, how much does it cost to write a Sefer Torah? He says, I would say between $35,000 and $40,000. A nice Sefer Torah, $37,000, $38,000. You should get a good Sefer Torah. He says, okay, Rabbi, thank you. There were 50 students at our house. He made it quiet, and he turned to all of them. He pointed to the couple some distance away. He told his friends the story, and he said, if each of us can give or collect $750, we are 50 people, $750, we can sponsor the entire Sefer Torah. A lot of wealthy kids took out $750, handed it to him. Those who did not have said, we'll come home, we'll ask a father, we'll ask an uncle, we'll ask a teacher, we'll ask a friend, we'll ask a man, we'll put together $750. He went back to the parents and he said, we will write the Sefer Torah for your son. We will take care of it. Rabbi Eliach collected the money from all of the students. A year later, in 2012, the students flew back to the Holy Land where they made a seal Menachnasa Sefer Torah in Mala Adumim, where this couple lives, with a huge chuppah, dancing and bringing the Sefer Torah into the local shul. The students who sponsored the Sefer Torah with their dancing, with Erez's father, Erez's brother, the entire mishpacha and all the friends. At the Suda, after the seal and the Sefer Torah, Erez's mom takes the mic. And she says, I want you to know that I felt my son was dancing under that chuppah with the Sefer Torah. I'm not a religious person, not a superstitious person. I don't know about spiritual stuff, but I felt my son was dancing under that Sefer Torah. And she thanked the students for giving them back their soul, and a few months later, their second son got engaged. He rebuilt his life, and a few months later, he went under a chuppah and found his yearbook, his bashet, is bringing Aliyah. And when I read and heard the story, I realized the power of that Sefer Torah, consciously or subconsciously. A Sefer Torah is copied from a previous one, copied from a previous one, copied from a previous one, copied from Moshe Rabbeinu's original Sefer Torah. I said once in a shiur, people think Moshe Rabbeinu lived far away. You know how many people you have to go back to find the Jews that were at Maimon Har Sinai? I knew, like you knew, Jews who were born in the 1890s. I knew some older Yidden from Russia who were born in the 1890s or the early 1900s. One century ago, it's not so long ago, a little more than a century, I knew some of them very well. El Tereid, I knew a Yidu passed away at 106, a Yidu passed away at 104, a Yidu passed away at 99. I spoke to them, I chatted with them. They knew Jews who were 70, who were 80, who were 90, when they passed away. They knew Jews from a previous century. If you go back, you know how many people, from me, from you, back to Jews who stood around Har Sinai? Not more than 35 people. Make the cheshbon, 3,300 years, 35 people, maybe 40 people, one person to another person, to the copy, the first copy of the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is that eternal story transmitted from generation to generation in which Tzibur Loimeis, Klal Yisrael remains alive. That was the Sefer Torah for Erez Deri. And that's the simcha that a Sefer Torah brings out at every Hachnasa Sefer Torah that Jews realize, and sometimes they don't realize it, but nonetheless, it's palpable, one feels it, one experiences it, and I can only imagine, and I want to say this, the simcha that you, the Blazer Yeshutzev, have tonight, in Olam HaEmes, in the world of truth, and don't underestimate it, we're not Mevinim on a Shamas. But a new Sefer Torah is added to the world. It's the eternal link, a new link in the eternal chain that Klal Yisrael celebrates. It keeps all of our ancestors alive, just like the chuppah continues generations biologically. The chuppah of the Sefer Torah continues generations spiritually, emotionally. It also continues generations. That's why there's a chuppah for this, and there's a chuppah for this. But I think, Moira Virabhoisai, there's something even much deeper than this. Everybody knows, well, all the Lag Boimer, half of the Lag Boimer, the Rashas, Rashbi, says in Masechet Sukkah, that Mantas Yecholni Lifter Es Kol Ha'olam Kulei Min Hadin. I can exonerate the whole world from din, from judgment. Everybody wonders why the Pshimer Vayechol. So there's a lot of different interpretations. But there's one interpretation, I think, that's very appropriate to this moment. It's very appropriate to the whole Kehillah of Er Chayim. It's very appropriate to these two people in whose Sefer Torah is honored. And it's very appropriate for many individuals sitting here who have this chus to know. And that's as follows. Reb Shimon has a famous shita in Shas. In Mesilchus Shabbos, Reb Shimon argues with Reb Yehuda about a dover she'ein miskavu. If somebody does something that may lead to a malacha, unintentionally, the classic example is, I'm walking on grass on Shabbos. I'm taking the shortcuts in Muncie. Who doesn't walk on grass on Shabbos? And of course, it's possible that a blade of grass should be uprooted, which is forbidden on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Dover she'ein miskavu, but you can't do it. Rabbi Shimon says, it's a dover she'ein miskavu, you had no intention, absolutely. You just wanted to walk. It's completely fine, even if the blade of grass is uprooted. Goyrir, Adam, Mita, Kise, Vesafso. You schlep your bench over the earth. You may make a furrow and plow. It's not miskaven. Reb Shimon holds it is absolutely mutter. And that is the halacha like Reb Shimon. Dover shei miskaven mutter. So last year, like Bohemer, at the dancing, Reb Daniel Schlitter comes over to me. He gave such a nice introduction. So I'm not going to give a whole introduction, but everything he said, he doesn't have to introduce me. So I thought I won't introduce him. I'll be mekayim his words. But Reb Daniel told me avart, a gevaldik avart. Everybody knows the story. We know this from childhood still. In Masechet Shabbos, Lamed Aleph. How did Rashbi end up in the cave for 12 years, and then 13 years? What happened? They were sitting around and schmoozing. So today, what do we talk about? We talk about Trump, Hillary, Sanders. In those days, they didn't talk about Trump, they talked about Rome. They spoke about Pompey, Tiberius, Caligula, Julius, Adrian, actually, more accurately, and all the names that you're familiar or unfamiliar with. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? Trump is Trump. A begibakuk. He's making America great again. Rome is Rome. Begibakuk. They built Amichaya. There's beautiful hot mikvahs. There's nice theaters. There's good gymnasiums. There's good steak to eat. They know how to run a country. Merchatoyes, ksharim, theater, gymnasiums, stadiums, malachatam. The Romans knew how to live it up. Rabbi Yehuda says, Amichaya, they elevated the quality of life. Rabbi Yossi was quiet. That was his policy. Comes up Shimon and says, Vos is the Hispilus. They did it all for ulterior motives. They are absolute narcissists. Completely, somebody once told me about somebody who says, you know, he's a self-made man and he worships his creator. They are absolute narcissists. Kol ma sha'asu is rak l'tzorech atzmon. Rak l'tzorech atzmon. They built the bridges just for taxes. and they built the merchatzoyes, and they built everything else for zoynis. We went through the list. They're absolutely evil, promiscuous, intent. They could care less about the citizens. They care less about the citizens, less than you care about the turtles in New Zealand. They're absolutely selfish. Of course, there's always the musser who goes and puts it on Facebook and makes it viral. Who was the Facebook? Papus Ben Yehuda. He was the yenta of the shtetl. There's no such a thing as privacy. We're having a conversation. It's out there. Rabbi Yehuda is elevated, Rabbi Yossi is exiled, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is destined to be executed for speaking like this against him. He runs to the cake. Zok Rabbi Daniel, it's all ishitase. Rabbi Yehuda holds Dover Shem Iskavin is Asur. Rabbi Shimon holds Dover Shem Iskavin is Mutter. Rome built beautiful cities. So in externally, beautiful cities, but what was their kavana? According to Rabbi Shimon, the main thing is the kavana. The Kavana was selfish and narcissistic. The Shimon says, I couldn't care less what they did. But they're rotten because the Kavana was rotten. And the action follows the Kavana, the intent. So when it comes to Shabbos, Dover Shem Iskavin is Mutter. You may do the Malacha, but there was no Mechuvin for a Malacha. There was no Neshama for a Malacha. There was no Kavana of a Malacha. Rabbi Yehuda goes to Shittaseh. He holds Dover Shem Iskavin. And if I could be Moisif, Reb Shimon holds in the Sechta Sanhedrin, the Skavin Larry Gazer, the Hara Gazer, Potter. Reb Shimon holds in Baba Kama, the Skavin Lazayish is there, Ubiyesh is there, it's not voices. Reb Shimon holds also in Baba Kama, even a behemoth needs Kavana. The Skavin Larry Gazer, even a behemoth, Larry Gazer. Reb Shimon doesn't hold it the same liability. Reb Shimon looks at the Pnimiyis, doesn't look at the externals. Reb Shimon is more the pnimius atoyeret. He doesn't look at the superficial. He doesn't look at the external. He doesn't look only what the eye sees, because his name is Shimon Milashim Shmiya. The eye sees physical. The ear can detect the music of life, the sound waves, the intangible, the sublime, the celestial. Reb Shimon is Mare, the Pnimius HaTorah, beyond the Nigla, beyond the Gulf, to be able to look for the Kavana, for the Pnimius, for the Neshama. And if I may add, is not that not the same Achleikus of Malacha Shein, the Tzricha Legufa? Reb Yehuda holds Chayiv, and Reb Shimon holds Potter. What's the Malacha Shein, the Tzricha Legufa? The Malacha you did! You killed a snake! But why did you do it? Not because you need a snake, because you don't want to get bit. The Malacha was here, but the Meshama of the Malacha is not here. You know, it's the book. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're liable min HaTayda. Rabbi Shimon says, you're Potter. You're Potter. Once again, if I may add, Gargar B'Kitzer, despite the request, the Rakachava Kedarke has his Goyne Shaverte. Tzofnes Paneach says, listen to this. He says, it's all one big sitter. In Eretz Yisrael, in Miron, they're reading Parshas B'Chukosah. And all Jews have their eyes on Eretz Yisrael, especially by Boimer. Nasa Adam Nemar Bavurecha Adinenu Bayechoy. The beginning of Parshas Bechukosi, Hashem says, V'hishbati Chayera Min Aretz. What's V'hishbati? I will eliminate wild animals from the land. So says in Teres Koyanim, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Mashbison Min Ha'olam. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Mashbison Shaloi Yaziku. Rabbi Yehuda says, V'hishbati means I'll get rid of all wild animals. Rabbi Shimon says, No. They'll become domesticated. They'll be here. I'll change their nature. That's v'hishbati. Comes Rav Kachava and says, the word v'hishbati is from the word tishbus. Tashbisu. By chametz, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, ein bir chametz ella, sreif. V'chachamim oimer aflefare v'zera l'ruach. Why? Because the question is, what does tashbisu mean? That you have to destroy the core, or you just have to destroy the tzura, the form, the utility. Rabbi Yehuda says tashbisu means the core. If the chayira is here, there's no tashbisu. V'hishbati. Rabbi Shimon says it's enough. Shelo yaziku. So that's why by chametz also, I don't care if there's a crumb of chametz, but it's not a usable crumb. You don't have to get rid of the core. I don't care. I don't look at the external. I look at the pnimius. Well, there's a third place where it says tashbisu. Shabbos, tishbos. Here again, Rabbi Yehuda says, Malacha shein etzicha legufa, as long as you have a malacha, you're chayiv. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you don't have the neshama of the malacha. You're potter, same as you with same as Gavin. And that's why he criticized Rome so profoundly. Moirev Rabbeisa, if that's the case, I think we understand why Rashbi said, Yechol Yilifter Kalayim of Kulei Ben Adil. I can exempt everybody from judgment. Because if Dabar Shein Miskavim, if a person is not held liable for Dabar Shein Miskavim, Rashbi says, if you look into the pnimiyus of every single Jew, you'll see that it's a Dabar Shein Miskavim. All of his sins and all of his transgressions and all of his errors, he may have done it, but deep, deep down, it's a Dabar Shein Miskavim. Hey, Amaisa, Moiradik Amaisa, Subshloim Abobavet, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. He was a survivor. He came to America. I think he was in Manhattan in the West Side. He needed a minion. Babev didn't have a minion at the time. So, Reb Shlomo Babev sent out his son, Reb Naftolcha, to go find a pen for a minion. It was Friday night. They see somebody walking in the street. He looked like a Jew. Maybe you want to come be mashlim the minion. He said, I'm not religious. Fine, just come in. He comes in, and he says, by the way, Ich bin aber still alive. You know, Oishin, yeah. You know, if I'm doing it, just, you know, for the record, right? It reminds me, there was once a city needed a spiritual leader. They put an ad in the newspaper, we need a new manhid. But we need a guy who's a cold boy. He's able to do everything. Not Stam, you know, we have to hire 100 people. One guy to do everything. So a youth comes, he says, I'm the man, Ich bin a Kolbenik, I can do whatever you want. They say, tell us your talent, the board says. He says, for starters, I'm a Kohen. You need Berkas Koyanim, you have me. Besides that, I'm a Chazan, I'm a Baltfila, I'm a Shamish, I'm a Darshan, I'm a Gabai, I'm a Seifer, I'm a Balkoida, I'm a Melamed, I'm a Sheikhet, I'm a Moyo. So I could mamish do everything, and besides that, I'm also Chevra Kaddish. In other words, I am the ultimate rabbi, I can hatch you, I can match you, and I can dispatch you. Everything, what else do you need? So somebody on the board says, wait, woman. 10 minutes ago you told us you're a Kohen. How can you be a Kohen in Chevra Kaddisha? How does it work? He says, Ich bin Azar Rav, Ich like Bagrav in Levadikah. I'm a type of rabbi, I'll bury you all alive. It's fine. I could be a Kohen, I could be a Chevra Kaddisha. So this Yid comes into Babiv, there's mamish 9 people, he says, Ich bin about Tfila. It's the Babiv Eruv. The Eruv says, Nu Davik is in Tahayt. His Hakka had a beautiful voice, Lachunaran and Eidavins. You know what? He liked the brethel. From a hair, from a hair, atheist, agnostic. He liked to send it, felt good. He finished. He came back the next week. Everybody was happy. They had the minion. He had his sender. He came back. A few months later, the shul already started to rebuild. There were more people. But he doesn't show up on Shabbos. Okay. Next Shabbos, he's not here. The third Shabbos. Shabbos morning, the Baba Veru, Reb Shlomo asks Reb Shlomo Halberstam, Zatzal asks his son, where is this Yid? Why did he disappear? He says, I don't know, he stopped coming. He says, you know what, maybe he'll go out and walk around the area. Maybe he's hanging out. Invite him. Tell him that we miss him. So Nafosha says, fine. He takes a friend from the shul, and they go for a shpatzir. And they're walking around, and they come into a park, one of the Manhattan parks. And sure enough, he's sitting Shabbos morning with a newspaper on the park bench, and he's smoking. He's smoking a cigar Shabbos morning. They look at him. They don't even say a word. They go right back. The Baba Mirav says, what happened? What's the Geshem? They tell him the Maisa. He says, nay. At his direct of Shabbos. He didn't smoke on Shabbos. The Prophet says, Tata, you know, I know it's a beginning. People come close to this. But I wouldn't make up the story. Unfortunately, he's sitting and smoking on Shabbos. He says, no, go and tell him that we miss him. And invite him to shul. He says, Rebbe, being Mechala Shabbos with a Hesed. No. He's not being Mechala Shabbos. He says, Father, why are you saying this? So Reb Shlomo Bovever tells his son, he says, Erez et Neshtav Shabbos. The Nazi Erez et Neshtav Shabbos. But Erez Adurach, was there Yidiz Adurach. What this Jew went through, he's not smoking on Shabbos. The Nazi is smoking on Shabbos. Go tell him I miss him and invite him. He went. He invited him as he was sitting with a cigarette on Shabbos. He forgot the story. 35 years later, Baba Vardab is already an elderly youth. And he tells his son he wants to go to a Sheva Brachas tonight. He usually didn't go to Sheva Brachas then, especially not one of his chevron. He says, who is it? He says, you'll come, you'll see. He goes to a Sheva Brachas. He says, I got an invitation, I want to go. He goes to a Sheva Brachas. Somebody is marrying off his einichel, his grandchild. So he comes in, he hugs the Baba Virav. He's a Jew. You can see he's not a chassid, he's not a Baba Virav. And if Shlomo turns to the son of Naphtali, he says, is that the year? With a yarmulke, with payas, marrying off his einichel, Sheva Brachas. He says, you see, I was right. The Nazi of Gereichet of Shabbos, Erekish Gereichet of Shabbos, you see, I was right. He wasn't smoking on Shabbos. It was the German smoking on Shabbos. Dovor Shein Miskavin. Dovor Shein Miskavin. The ability to be able to look deeper and see there's many young people, if you look at them superficially, you want to write them off. Look at him, look at her, look at him, look at her. It's a Dovor Shein Miskavin. Did you ever try to embrace them? Did you ever try to speak to them? Did you ever try to love them? Did you ever try not to judge them? Did you ever try to see what's happening in their pnimiyus hanefesh? Do you know what they're going through? Reb Shimon says, don't look. Listen. Lishmoya elohi nevelatzvila. Ashrei maskil eldol. Don't just give a poor man's daughter. Ashrei maskil eldol. You have to understand. You have to appreciate. You have to understand. You have to understand the person. And if I may say something else, the dancing today with the Sefer Torah encapsulates all of this. You know why? Because the Gemara says in Menachos Chavtes, when Moshe went up to the mountain, he saw Hashem riding the koitzim, right? The tagim. The what are they called? The little tagim, the little thorns, the little koitzim, the little lines, the zions on top of seven letters in the Sefer Torah. So Moshe asks Hashem, what's this for? So Hashem says, there'll be a Jew, Akiva ben Yosef, on each koitz, on each one of these lines, he will expound mounds of halacha. So Moshe says, can I see him? He says, yeah. And Hashem forwards history, he's sitting at a shiur of Akiva, and the Gemara says, Moshe doesn't understand the shiur. What does this mean? Moshe didn't understand Rabbi Akiva's shiur, really? Rabbi Akiva's students understood it, Moshe didn't understand it. One of the interpretations is Moshe's Torah. The Megala Amukah says, Yisrael, yesh, shishim, ribuy, oisis, l'Torah. Every Jew has a letter in the Torah. But you know what? Sometimes you look at a Jew, and you don't see on the Jew a letter in the Torah. Sometimes you look at the Torah, and you don't see in that letter this Jew. You look at a Jew, there's no relation between this Jew and Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's his relationship to Torah? Hashem says, for this you need Rabbi Akiva. You know what Rabbi Akiva did? Rabbi Akiva explained the secret of the koitz. The koitz is a little tiny line. It's the Jew who's not connected to a letter in the Sefer Torah, but he's hanging on. Literally, he's hanging on That little line on top of a letter, there's Jews in that kites. You may call it a thorn. You may call it a thorn. But Rabbi Akiva, I'll call kites v'kites asid lidreish tilei tilim shel halachas. In each kites he saw mount of halachas. Why Rabbi Akiva? Because this is Rabbi Akiva's story. Till the age of 40, what they say about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva was the greatest kid at risk. Do you know that? Rabbi Akiva was thrown out of every yeshiva in Flatbush, in Lakewood, in Borough Park, and in Williamsburg. Rabbi Akiva had a mazel that there was one woman, her name was Rachel. She looked at him, and she knew that he's going to be the Gadol Hador. She believed in Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, don't give up on the koisin. I'll call kois v'kois, asid lidrash tili tilim shu halachas. That's my story. And if you want to go deeper, there's a verse from the bells of the Sar Shalom of Bells, who said, there's seven letters that have pagan. Which seven letters? Shatna's guess. Shin ayin tes nun zayin gimel tzadik. Each one of the seven has three little pagan. 3 times 7 or 7 times 3 is 21. So he says it's the 21 days from Rosh Hashanah through Hashanah Rabbah. Those are the days of Tshuva. Rabbi Akiva's yahrzeit was Yom Kippur or Erev Yom Kippur. It's two shittas, Yom Sifun and other places. That's the day of Tshuva. He was killed by the Romans. The end of Gemara says in Brachos HaMachalot. Rabbi Akiva represented the Koyach HaTshuva, which reveals that there's still a relationship with the Sefer Torah, even if you don't see it in the letter, there's a kite hanging on. That's Rabbi Akiva. He was Rabbi Shimon by Yechai's Rebbe. But I want to tell you, Rashbi took it a step deeper. Sometimes you look at a Jew, and you could see on his face a letter of the Torah. Sometimes you look at a Jew, and you can't see on his face a letter, but at least you could see that there's a thread. He's holding on. You know the Jews who come to Shul for Yisker. Somebody once asked me why Jews have so many heart problems, cardiology issues. I said, push it. Because so many Jews will tell you, I'm a Jew in my heart. So all their Judaism is pressured on their heart. If they would distribute it a little bit between their arms and their legs, and their pockets and their wallets, so then the heart wouldn't have so much stress. But they're still attached with a little kites. But Moirav Rabbeisai, Rashbi knew there's going to be a generation, you're going to look around and you're not going to see not a letter and not a kites, you're not going to see anything. So now you're going to say, eh, just give up on them. Came Rashbi, who was the Mare, the Pnimiyus HaTorah. He was the one who was Megala Pnimiyus HaTorah, and therefore he is the source of the whole Teres HaNister, the whole Teres HaKabbalah, and therefore the whole Teres HaChassidus, Teres HaMosam. And he said, go a step deeper, and we're going to be Megala, the Nister of a Jew. Where do you see the Nister of a Jew? Ah, here you have to look somewhere else. Not in the letter and not in the kites. You know where you have to look? On the parchment, the white parchment. The Gemara says, Kol ois, she'enei mukav gvil me'ar baruchai seho. It's not a letter. Every letter has to have white parchment around and around from all the four sides. When you look at white gvil, what do you see? You see nothing. You just see white parchment. It looks empty. But that's where Torah's HaNister is. That's where Sosim Dairais is. The invisible, the subconscious, the unconscious. Dorten liegt etzem aneshama of every yid. Shreb Shimon Bar Yochai says, Yechoyli lister es kol ha'oilam kulei min adin. Because if you look at the pnimiyus, it's a davar she'enai miskat. When we were today dancing with the Sefer Torah, like you dance by a Siyam Sefer Torah, like you dance by Hakafis, like you dance by the Chuppah, what are you holding on to? You're not learning the letters, and you're not even learning the Tagus. What are you holding on to? You're holding on to the parchment. You're holding on to the Gvil of the Sefer Torah. You want to celebrate Torah? Open it up and start learning. That's how you celebrate Torah. What's happening? Imagine if the Senate in Capitol Hill or the Congress once a year to celebrate the Constitution, the senators and the congressmen will take the Constitution and they'll start dancing around Capitol Hill. Imagine you go to Britain, to the Parliament, they're going to take the Constitution of Great Britain and start dancing. Go to a hospital and see doctors who graduated medical school, they should take the text of their medical books and start dancing. Or lawyers take the text of their law books. You won't trust them ever again. You'll say they're absolutely crazy. And yet you go in today for Shea or Quince Lane, and you saw hundreds of Jews in Kindle up Dancing! You say, what's in that book? A bunch of laws. Learn them. What time still? The pshat is that for the Jewish people this wasn't only a book of law, of halacha, it was the book of life. It was their action. And it was a link to eternity, but it's more than that. It's in the hefta of the gvil that you have embedded all neshamas Yisrael from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Avraham Avinu, all the way to Biyat HaMashiach. And Rashbi is the one who articulated that invisible core, that invisible source, the Sosim Da'iraisa, the Pimiyus HaTorah. So therefore tonight, as you finish the Sefer Torah for the two Shutzim, Reb Yaakov, Reb Naftali, Herod Schnell, Zechrono Livracha, and Reb Herschel Herender, Reb Tzibur, Reb Shmuel, Zechrono Livracha, another man. Their connection with the Sefer Torah is either in the letters, or in the Koitzim, in the Tagim, or in the Gvil, in the parchment, but they're rooted deeply in the Sefer Torah, and it's rooted all the way throughout history. So it's a celebration of eternity, it's a celebration of unity, and it's the ultimate celebration of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And I think this explains the fact that the greatest kibbutz today of Jews, the Gashmias, happens where? Miron Lag BaOmer. Why? And it's fascinating. Not brought in Gemara, not brought in Rishonim, not brought in Rambam, not in Tur, not in Shulchan Aruch. The whole Makkah that Lag BaOmer is Hilul de Rashbi doesn't say anywhere in Halach. It comes from Tishvei Ariza. And people even want to debate that. Fascinating. And that brings out of the woodwork everybody. Close to 500,000 Jews came Yerbu. Even Uman lays a feast of Tiyad HaMelech Taka. Asach Yidin Kenayin Hara. But the amount of Jews like Boim in Miran, it brings together the greatest kibbutz of Jews and all types. In Miran you have Svardim and Ashkenazim, Chsidim and Yeshivisha, Litvisha and Taymaneh, secular and religious, Mesorati, traditional. All types come out. What brings them out? And they're dancing. The koyach of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai to reveal the pnimiyus haneshama, to reveal the etzem hanefesh of a Jew, to reveal the fire, the flam fire of Nasa Adam Nema Bavurecha. That brings out everybody from the woodwork and it unites everybody. It reveals the common denominator. And if I may conclude and say that one of the great blessings of this community and the great example that the one who's being machnas to Sefer Torah tonight, I think, showed and continues to show many people is that at his table and in his Beis Medrash and in his Dalet Amos, there's no such a thing, nobody is welcome. I think the Blazer Shiner's world and his wife, Heather Shetlitz, and their home Mishpacha that are here, they bring out the Yecholmi Lifter Eskol HaOlam Kulei Min Hadin, without judgmentalism, without negative energy, without denigrating, without embarrassing, without making some people feel unwelcome. Every type of person, every type of Jew, every type of teenager, from all categories and all types, it's a pchina of Miron. It's a pchina of Lag BaOmer. It's a pchina of Yecholmi Lifter Eskol HaOlam Kulei Min Hadin. When Reb Shimon Bar Yochai puts on his glasses, and when you put on the glasses of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, you don't see din. You don't see evil. Not because you're naive, but because you're a little deeper. You're a little holier. You're a little purer. And when you're a little deeper and holier and purer, you see the Dover Shade Mestav, and you see here what Jew really is. You celebrate his Matthias. You dance with him. You embrace him, you love him, and you give him or her the dignity of knowing that they belong to the eternal story of Knesset Yisroel. And therefore, Kedai Reb Shimon Lismachal of Shas Hatchat. Everybody kvetches today. Shas Hatchat means kvetching. Everybody loves kvetching today. Mekvetch vegen this and mekvetch vegen them. Instead of kvetching, Reb Shimon says, stop kvetching. Come hold on to me. And if you hold on to me, you won't kvetch. You'll be optimistic. You'll be hopeful. You'll be positive. You'll stop kvetching and you'll stop sighing. Oi, what's going to be with the next generation? Oi, what's going to be the future? Oi, what's going to be with our youth? What's going to be with our system? What's going to be with our yeshivas? The questions are good questions. But Reb Shimon says, if you're joining my team, stop. Stop vexing. Either you're going to be part of the problem or you're going to be part of the solution. This is a community that decided it doesn't want to be part of the problem. It wants to be part of the solution. To lean on Reb Shimon ben Yechai in Shas Hatchak of Golos and to be poiteris kol oilam kulei min adin with the greatest simcha, the ultimate chuppah and the ultimate nisuyin, the bias Mashiach tzeteinu b'mheira b'yameinu amein l'chaim and mazel tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.